Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. I'm here with Ana Lee.
Hey everybody, what's up?
Hey you guys, today we are doing our next true crime episode. We really appreciate all the love you guys have given us on the true crime episodes. We always say how important it is to share these stories because they are real, so real. So we really want to thank you guys for your support on following our true crime episodes that we're sharing. But today, Ana Lee, we really have somebody special to kind of share a big case that you and I have both been following for a long time. Today, our interview is with Paula Woodward, and she is one of the lead investigative reporters that was on the JonBenet Ramsey case. And if you guys know, this case has never been solved. It's unsolved. There has never been justice for JonBenet or her family as into what happened. There are so many stories surrounding what really happened. And Ana Lee and I were both kind of like, what do we believe? What's the truth? Like, what, you know, we've read and we watched, I mean, even in our research for this, right, Ana Lee, we watched so many like interviews and stories.
Yes,
and
documentaries.
We did a lot of research, y'all. I mean, because we wanted to really hear like the real facts and actually see like the letter and actually hear like what did they find. And that's when I came across Paula's book, which is amazing. And it's called We Have Your Daughter. And her website is wehaveyourdaughter.net. And she has, guys, all the behind the scenes. Like, she has police reports and pictures and items that were JonBenet's. And just, I mean, if you go to her website, there's tons of pictures on there of just tells you the story of her life and gives you a lot of information into what was investigated. And we don't want to give too much of it away. We want you guys to hear it from her. But there are a lot of stories surrounding this, and we kind of wanted to just bring somebody who really had a one-on-one conversation with the actual family. She actually interviewed the Ramseys, and she's going to share a part of that with us. And we really wanted you guys to hear it firsthand. So this is our interview with Paula Woodward. Hey, you guys, welcome to this true crime episode that we're doing. We love doing these episodes, and you guys love listening to them. Today, we have a super special guest with us. Her name is Paula Woodward. She is an Emmy award-winning journalist. She is one of the first female investigative reporters and award-winning author for her book, We Have Your Daughter, which is her book about her extensive research and her investigative reporting that she has done on the JonBenet Ramsey case. Paula, thank you so much for joining us. We are so happy you are here with us.
I am delighted to be here with you.
You know, this case has, like, I just remember, you know, when I was, you know, me and Ana Lee are like 10 years apart. So I remember being being a little older probably than Ana Lee does, and hearing this case, and just, you know, I remember it being Christmas and just feeling like so sad for JonBenet, and just wondering like, oh my gosh, you know, how could this happen to somebody on Christmas? Like, I remember that was my first initial thought. This happened right in the middle of your town where you lived and worked, and, you know, so a place you're very familiar with and you know, spent most of your career. Tell us kind of how you got involved with being part of, you know, the investigative process of the Ramsey case.
Sure. I am an investigative reporter and was an investigative reporter at the time with KUSA Television Channel 9 in Denver. And her body was discovered in 1996, the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was never determined whether or not she was killed on Christmas night or the day after Christmas. The coroner could never determine that. But it's horribly tragic. I got involved because I was on vacation, but I was in town, and my news director called me and said, "We need you in here." And so I started reporting it on that Friday. Christmas was on a Wednesday, her body was on Thursday, and Friday was when the autopsy was done, and that's when I started reporting on it. And I stayed on it for all this time. And I wanted to know, the reason I wrote the book was, I wanted to know what the heck happened. It's not a book that says, hey, here's who did it.
Right.
Because I don't know who did it. But it is a book that gives the best information I could find, and make up your own mind.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, examine what's there and decide for yourself what you believe. But that's how I got involved, and I wanted to know why it seemed that everything was so goofed up on this investigation.
Yes, that's what I've noticed, from the police investigations to, you know, just even the way, like, the house, you know, like, was it a kidnapping, you know, how did they search the house, you know, things like that. But you have access to police reports, and I know you told me that you were going to be releasing some police reports onto your website, wehaveyourdaughter.net, which you guys can go over and check. You have so many pictures and behind the scenes footage, or, you know, about this case that people can look at. But it does seem like the investigation process was super sloppy.
It was super sloppy. It was done by police officers who had never, not one of them, they had never investigated a homicide before.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, you can imagine that in any job, you have to have experience. And they didn't have any. And so horrendous mistakes were made. There were 18 people in the house at one time before her body was discovered.
Oh my gosh.
These were friends of the Ramseys who were invited in and were cleaning up the kitchen and cooking food. So whatever evidence.
So there was, it was all over the place. All fingerprints. Everybody's fingerprints.
Yeah, that was insane.
And they're just a thorough investigation. There wasn't a sign-in log. A sign-in log on a crime scene, especially a homicide, is just critical. And a sign-in log is simply the people who arrive on the scene, mostly law enforcement, who sign in and sign out. It was produced, made up, signed in a day later. And so there are times. Yeah, I mean, that's just wrong.
Yeah, and do you think that was like that in the beginning because they did it as a missing, like she's missing, and like not that it was like a homicide because at that point they hadn't found her body?
Regardless of whether it was a kidnapping or a homicide, these are very basic things that have to be done.
Yes.
No one allowed in on the scene, and a sign-in log must be taken. Those are just the basics. If it was a kidnapping, then the whole house is a crime scene. If it's homicide, the whole house is a crime scene.
Exactly. Wow. So right from the get-go, this was all done wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It was wrong from the beginning. Everything about it was wrong from the beginning.
And I feel like in every true crime, like, investigation that I've gone through on my own, that's one of the first things that you think about, right? Like, okay, we need to keep evidence of everything or a log of everything that we've been doing. So for them not to do that, it's like common sense, right? And that was missed. And so it does raise a lot of questions as to why was this not followed. Like, protocol should have been followed, and it wasn't. So there's already questioning right there from, you know, the citizens of the community and also just other people. I mean, you as an investigative reporter, you probably were wondering, like, why did it not follow it?
You probably knew what to do more than they did, Paula.
Well, thank you for saying that. We didn't know any of this.
Wow. So while you were investigating immediately after it happened, you didn't know this was how they were doing it?
No, we didn't. We kept hearing things. We couldn't prove anything. And right away, I went back to all these old reports and media reports, and the media did a horrible job. I mean, really a bad job, as well as Boulder police. But there were 6 days of incorrect information given by Boulder police to the media that was printed or broadcast, like Patsy Ramsey refused to take a DNA test. That was a lie. She did take a DNA test. So it's just it's these crazy things that just don't make any sense. You know, why would you say that?
Yeah. And Paula, you actually have sat down, you were able to sit down and interview the Ramseys, like, extensively, and you did a really great interview with that, I wanted to say. But
well, thank you.
Annalie, I know you had, we had some questions for that.
Yeah, so they, so looking back at all the interviews of the JonBenet Ramsey case, like if you Google JonBenet Ramsey and all the interviews with the parents, they seem really emotionless. And there's a lot of other cases where, like the Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson case, where he was super unemotional during the interviews, yeah, and it turned out that he killed his wife. So for the parents to be super unemotional during all these interviews, it kind of raised some red flags for some of the media. So how do you, what was your feeling as you were interviewing the Ramseys, and what can you tell us about that experience?
In interviewing the Ramseys, as you both know, in the media, you try to get as much information as you can so that your viewers or your readers or your listeners can decide for themselves. So it was critical to get the Ramsey point of view, the police point of view, mm-hmm, the attorney point of view, the prosecutor point of view. I thought that the Ramseys were, in the interview, I mean, they prayed before the interview, just to themselves. They didn't make an issue out of it. Uh-huh. I don't know how you judge how someone is supposed to act.
Right.
There's been a violent incident in their family. I've been a reporter for so very many years. Everybody reacts differently. But I'll go back to your point that I'm putting, and it's not police reports, but the summaries of police reports on the website, and that'll be in March. And I will let you all know so you can promote that.
Yes, definitely.
But what it is it's about 10 pages of reports, of summaries of police reports, of the police interviewing people who knew the Ramseys, mm-hmm, and it was all police reports from the night after her body was found. That night, they were a mess. They would fall down on the floor. They would cry. They would scream. These are things we never knew about then.
Wow.
And no,
and nobody ever reported that, obviously.
No, it was never reported because it was never released.
Mm-hmm.
There was an honest exchange. And then in all the interviews of people who knew the Ramseys that the police had done, there weren't any criticisms. One of the police investigators who felt that the Ramseys had killed their daughter said in frustration at one point, according to these summaries, we can't find anything wrong. So, I mean,
oh my gosh.
We just didn't know that. And I feel like, you know, that's what was so important to me, is to get this information, know that it's accurate, and then let you all see it, and you can make up your own mind, because we were never given honesty, accuracy, the truth during this investigation, any time during the investigation. And that's what's such a crime about it, because it was the sloppy police work, and then the sloppy work by people who were leaking misinformation. It was, the whole thing's just a tragedy, because her killer hasn't been found.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And, you know, when just looking over, you know, things that I've read about this case, and I just kind of wanted to ask you about a few of them. Like, I know at one point, like, I mean, like, even in her, in Patsy Ramsey, in her interview with you, you know, I think one of her thoughts were possibly the person entered the house while they were not home. Because one of the biggest things was the 3-page ransom note that obviously somebody who has, you know, committed a horrific crime is not going to sit afterwards and write a 3-page ransom note.
Exactly.
But for this ransom note to be written, it was written, you know, with their paper, you know, inside their house at some point. Do you think that the person that did this was already in the house before they either got home or somewhere, somebody who was already in the house?
I wonder if, and I have no way of knowing if this is true.
Right.
This is just my wondering if that ransom note was written outside of the house. Because if you look at the ransom note, of course you can see the ransom note in my book, and I'm sure that you've seen the ransom note.
Yes.
But if you look at it, that's 2.5 pages long. It's printed, which is not the normal way we write or wrote then,
right.
Cursive. And it's fairly, it's got a lot of information in it.
It does.
So what's written in the home, or was it written outside of the home? I have a chapter that lists 5 movies where quotes may have been taken out of them and used in the ransom note.
I recently read that, and that's something I did not know, that there were movie quotes in that ransom note.
So, you know, you can speculate.
Right.
That's one of the things that I did, was say, hey, decide yourself. But
yeah.
Did either of you see the movie Speed?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen Speed.
Lots
yes.
of times.
Because, you know, where the bus was hijacked.
Yes.
And in that, when they're in the bus, the guy who's going to blow them up says, don't try to grow a brain. Well, I mean, that's not normal conversation to me.
Right. Exactly.
You know? No, that's not normal.
Not at all.
And it was used in the ransom note. And so, to me, that was just very curious.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very fascinating.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and also the polygraph that Patsy took was not totally, she was not able to be totally ruled out. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Okay.
She didn't take a polygraph with the police. She took a polygraph with some people hired by her attorneys, which therefore,
okay,
in a lot of people's minds, make it suspect, but she passed that. What the disagreement was on was on the handwriting.
Her handwriting and sample. Okay.
Basically, Patsy was cleared on the handwriting.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The entire family was cleared on DNA.
Okay.
And I just think if this killer's ever going to be caught, it's going to be from genetic DNA. That is the type of DNA where you look at the family members that has become so popular lately because we're all having our own DNA examined.
Yes.
And
oh, like the 23andMe and all that stuff.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I didn't think about
that. But Boulder Police won't say whether or not they're doing that.
Oh,
checking
my gosh.
Those. And I guess my question is, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us? It can't hurt anything.
Yeah, and I guess when I go back and think over this case, I'm like, somebody had to been in the house, gone to her room, took her all the way downstairs, you know, and did all those horrible things to her and, you know, hit. I mean, she was just so brutally hurt and killed. And I don't know. It's just so mind boggling to me. And I don't know if I'll ever stop thinking about it, you know?
It's because she was tortured.
Yes, and it just breaks my heart.
We, the media, we, the public, never really knew that either.
Yeah. I mean, was it true that there was a stun gun used on her?
There are 2 schools of thought on that. The police say no,
mm-hmm.
and those who are outside of the inner circle of the police say yes.
But there was not one found at the scene?
There was not one found at the scene, no.
Oh, but they're saying from her autopsy that it could have been used.
There are 2 sets of marks on her body. They are exactly the same distance apart in terms of their width. They're in different places on her body, and they are the exact same width. So those are what those who have examined stun gun cases
mm-hmm.
say, hey, this is a stun gun.
Yeah, like some people are like, yeah, that's what it is.
The coroner in Boulder, and I've talked to him extensively, did not have experience on stun guns, and he did not initially identify those marks.
Oh, okay.
Those were identified by someone Boulder Police brought in, a homicide investigator outside of the Boulder jurisdiction.
Wow.
who had investigated 100 homicides. He's the one who said, we need to decide whether or not this is a stun gun. He believed it was. A lot of people believe it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just God. Like, how would somebody have like a stun gun though, just lying around?
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a method of control.
Yeah, it could have been how they quietly got her out of her room. I mean, I don't know.
Well, stun gunner.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That would be the original theory. Get her quietly out of her room. Stun gunner when she's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the autopsy, when I talked to the coroner, and of course the autopsy was not released until nearly a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly released. Yeah. But in the autopsy, the coroner said the cause of death was strangulation and a blow to the head. And he gave both of those as causes of death. And I said to him, well, which happened first? And he said, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Happened almost simultaneously. So what does that tell you? I don't know. What does that tell you?
I don't know.
And was there a broken window, like, in the basement that somebody could have gotten in through?
Yes. There was a window in the basement. And it looked like, you know how when you're climbing and you slide down something and your shoes leave impressions?
Uh-huh.
There were those kinds of marks on the wall underneath the window.
Okay, I remember seeing that in the pictures, and I wasn't sure what that was. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't like to keep trying to refer back to my book, but I'm...
Yeah,
but
no,
there's
please.
There's so much information in there. The picture's in there.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I have a question. So, let's talk about Burke, who is Dominique's brother. Do you think Burke at 9 years old could have done it?
Absolutely not. In my opinion, he was not involved.
Okay.
And there are two reasons that I say that. First, there is DNA on the scene, in the scene that does not match any of the Ramseys. But second, and equally as important, whenever there's a homicide of a child, there's, in Colorado, it's called the Child Protection Agency, and they have an investigation. And every state has this organization called the Child Protection Agency. They investigate abuse. They investigate homicides. They protect the children. That's what their job is. They interviewed Burke within 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
of sister's murder. And their conclusion was, and this is something that hasn't been publicized before, but is in the book because I was able to get the report. From their report, it says, quote, from the interview with Burke, it is clear Burke was not a witness to JonBenet's death.
Wow.
And it's kind of odd language, but it's very clear Burke didn't kill his sister, according to the child protection people who did the most extensive interviews with him.
Yeah, and I think that has come up because of also the way he acts, especially when he was interviewed through Dr. Phil, like his just, I know a lot of people had thoughts on, you know, his demeanor and his, you know, the smiling that he had and everything. But I think that's just, I don't think he's, you know, developed. Like, I mean, you know, like he's developed, obviously, like he's a grown person, a grown man now. But I think he had a really hard upbringing being possibly, you know, told, you know, like I know they said that one time they would see, you know, he saw like a magazine that said he was, you know, possibly involved and how that hurt him.
I think that that's a very astute, that's very astute on your part that you bring up some very good points with that. The Dr. Phil interview with Burke was, I thought it was sad.
Yes, it was.
And then everybody
he looks so lost. I think he looks so lost and just so like he doesn't know how to, like he just didn't know how to act, you know, like he just didn't know what to do.
And the other thing that you've got to take into consideration is that CVS settled that lawsuit.
Yes.
That Burke Ramsey and John Ramsey.
They sued them.
They sued them for that television show that they had.
Yes.
Saying, gee, Burke killer. CBS settled that.
Wow. So I think the main thing that we need to remember as we're going over this evidence with you right now is that there was DNA at the scene that has never been connected to anybody. And that person has to be the person that did this.
Yes, the DNA. There were two times that DNA was taken. Once, the 1996-1997, when she, right after she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And they found DNA under each of her fingernails, on her left hand and her right hand, and then in her panties. But then in 2008-2009, when the DNA advances had happened, had improved substantially, the district attorney then had more testing done on an area that had never been tested. And each side of the waistband of her long johns, you know how if you would take your long johns down?
Oh, like if you were pulling your, yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. DNA was found there that matched the first DNA. So you've got five different examples.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Part of DNA that matches.
It is very possible the person that did this is already dead because it's been so long.
It is, but there's still the possibility of genetic DNA.
Of genetic, yeah, connecting it through like family. You said, yeah, through family, of saying, like, it could have been this person.
Be careful what you read.
Yeah, exactly.
On this case.
It is. I know. That's why I said there was so much information I wanted to bring in front of you and get your feedback on it.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, really the question is, do you really think we'll ever be able to find out who did this?
Yes. As long as Boulder police look aggressively at genetic DNA, I believe the case can be solved.
Do you think that they're up to speed enough now? Like how you said, like before, they were just so, you know, uneducated on how to take care of a case like this, that they would be doing that now? Do you think that they're still, do you think somebody's still working on this and trying to find out what happened?
I don't think that the Boulder Police Department is actively looking at it.
Yeah.
And that's very sad. I wish they would, because why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a chance to find out, there's a chance to rule it in or rule it out as far as genetic DNA, then do it.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, she deserves justice. She deserves to, you know, rest in peace and you know, this was just such a horrific crime. And like I said, it's just something I know.
Exactly.
I know there's a lot of people out there that, like, you know, like Analia and I, who just have always wondered and think about this a lot. And, you know, we were just saying, we went back over all the videos and evidence, you know, everything that we could find on this. And, you know, that's why we came back, you know, across your, you know, your book, which you guys need to go pick up, her book, We Have Your Daughter, and go to her website, wehaveyourdaughter.net, and see the evidence and see everything that's there, because Paula, you have brought so much, insight to this case. So thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
And being one of the ones that have not given up.
Yeah. Marissa and Annalie, I really appreciate your interest in it. I just think it's, so important. I don't know who killed her.
Yeah.
I hope that genetic DNA is being actively looked at, and the little girl deserves it.
Yep.
And it's an incredibly tragic case.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Paula, I just remember, like, as a child, I always wanted to do
pageants. Yeah.
And it was like a really big thing back then. And as soon as this happened, my parents just put down the wall, and they said that they didn't want to expose me that way. And it was just something that always stuck with me. It's like a statement and a thing in my life that always stuck with me, that always kind of scared me a little bit, that, you know, it's just something you grow up with and something that is always in the back of your head, that you're like, where is this person? Like, why hasn't he been or she been caught yet? We don't know who this person is. And it's just something we're always going to keep wondering about until the case is solved, if it is ever solved.
Yeah.
I hope it is.
I hope so, too. I really do.
Yeah.
And please keep us informed on anything that we can support that you're doing. I mean, you have worked on so many investigative stories. You're amazing at what you do. And I cannot wait to continue to follow your career and the things that you are a part of. And hopefully we get to do another interview
Agreed.
Soon.
Yes.
We can have you on again about something else, because I would love that.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Thank you both. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. Bye.
And thanks so much to Paula Woodward for that interview. It was really eye-opening. Yes. I feel like something that I really thought during the interview was there was a lot of things brought up that Paula said about the investigators not really taking all the evidence, not looking at every piece of evidence, not really searching the house.
Right.
There was a bunch of things that they were not doing correctly or up to par to what you think, you know, mm-hmm. a criminal investigation should be doing. Just because I feel like, you know, everybody has, you have a job, and sometimes you don't do your job 100% depending on, you know, other circumstances, but police and criminal investigators, I think, have a lot to give back to the community, and we rely on them a lot to solve these cases for us and yeah. to help us prevent things from, like, JonBenet Ramsey's murder from happening, right?
Right.
So I think that's something that I took away from it. It makes me not scared to have kids, but it really gives me a lot to think about, because yeah. as you heard in the interview, both me and Marisa, I think, thought, like, it's the brother has to have killed her.
I mean, I think that's been my long time thought, was like, mm-hmm. does somebody in the family, like, how could somebody get into the house, how could somebody write a 3-page letter and not be already in the house, you know? Like, I was trying to put together, and I think it's because we hear so many different stories, but hearing hers, I mean, being firsthand and speaking with the Ramseys and even sharing, like, how they prayed before they had their mm-hmm. interview, you know, that just says a lot. Like, we didn't hear that about them, you know?
No.
We didn't hear that about them. And I'm sure Burke has gone through a lot, because, you know, he's gone through a lot being you know, put in the front and center of maybe this is his fault. And when there's actually no real evidence saying that, and the fact that there was somebody else's DNA there that was not part of the family, and that's a fact, you know. So for her to, so, you know, like, when she says probably the only way we're going to ever find out is going to be through, you know, like, those 23andMe's and those DNA test kits that people are doing right now,
uh-huh.
it is probably going to get tied to somebody that somebody was related to. So it's going to be, you
exactly.
know, somebody who's getting their test kit done, and it might be their uncle or their dad or their, you know, somebody that they know that they're related to, because at this point the person might not even be alive anymore, you know?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I mean, but it was just such, you know, it was just such a big case that, you know, Anneli and I were really passionate about, like, learning more about. And we can't thank Paula enough for taking the time. I mean, you guys, she is an Emmy award-winning journalist. She has done so many, like, great stories in her career. So for her to take the time to talk to us and give us, you know, her personal look into investigating and being on a part of investigating this case meant a lot to us. So we want to thank her for that. But I know you guys, we want to hear from you. So please tell us your thoughts. Like, what do you think? Leave us a comment below on our podcast. Send us a DM. Drop on our Instagram, whatever. But we want to hear what you think, too. Because I know a lot of people have thought about this case for a long time. So we want to hear uh-huh. your thoughts, too. So please share, and we will share what you guys are saying. And let's have a conversation about it. But like Anneli said, it's real important what's happening right now. You know, keep your eyes open. If somebody needs help, you know, there might have been somebody that saw something about this JonBenet case, and maybe they didn't say something, or maybe they didn't uh-huh. know. You know, I feel like somebody knew. You
yeah,
know, like,
exactly.
You know, like, somebody who knows this person that did it, you know, might know something and never, you know, shared that or never thought it was anything. So, you know, just, it can be anywhere. It can be next door. It can be down the street. It can be at our church, at our schools, you know.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
let's just, you know, share, you know, show the love and keep the community close.
Yes.
And, you know, and just pray that hopefully her killer is found.
Yes, in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you. And you guys, shout out to Anna Lee. She started her podcast. We want you guys to go over and follow Not Your Basic Latina. She's also on SoundCloud. And don't worry, she's going to be a part of Girl Talking Mas. So you guys are going to get to hear her on here and on her own podcast. So go follow her. And thank you for all the love that you give us. We appreciate you. And have a good one. Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.